Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast. In this podcast, we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we do tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors too.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Sam Barker.
Hello, everyone.
And today we are going to talk about online sexual abuse. We've covered in previous podcasts the prevalence of online sexual abuse. We make no apologies for returning to this unpleasant, torrid subject. But it's been in the news again, so we thought we would have another podcast. And the background to this podcast is that a couple described as a paedophile couple in the media filmed themselves sexually abusing children, including, shockingly, a baby, and have been jailed for a total of 21 years.
Terrible case.
Yeah. Mark Gable was arrested after police officers found a video of him sexually assaulting a baby during a search of the house. A number of other images and videos were discovered, which also showed Gable sexually assaulting children. The police discovered that Gable's girlfriend, Jessica Fry, had filmed the initial video as well as a number of other images and videos. So
brings to light again so many of these terrible issues that exist online and indeed in the dissemination of this kind of material, which there's, you know, clearly a market for, which is just
it's
horrible.
A trade. You know, there's a trade taking place, for want of a better term. Well, I think it's probably an accurate term if you think about it. There's a trade in the sharing and publication of images and videos showing children being abused. No doubt money is a big motivator, as well as those who've got an interest in doing wrong by children. So,
we visit this quite often, actually, and I think it's, you know, as much as it's not nice to talk about, and indeed with how serious these crimes are, it's certainly not nice. But
I think we do need
to talk about it, because it's something that people need to know about, that it exists out there. And, you know, that there is this trade that happens, and it's something that's really prevalent in the UK. The UK, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, is the third most convictions per year behind the US and Canada, something like 400 a month arrests, sorry, not convictions, for downloading, distributing, disseminating, selling child pornography.
Yeah, it's astonishing, as well as shocking, of course. But I think it's important that we discuss it, no matter how uncomfortable it is in doing so, because the general public probably doesn't really understand the law and don't really see how easy it might be to inadvertently fall foul of the law in not understanding that you can't
forward things.
What you might think is a private, intimate picture of your other half or whatever it happens to be, because you're just going to fall foul potentially of the law in a big way. And I think this was brought home by a recent BBC Radio 4 programme.
Yeah, I didn't see this. Yeah. What was that about?
That was a BBC programme called The Boy in the Video, and it was produced by Lucy Proctor at the BBC. And the programme was all about an everyday event, as it's described, a WhatsApp message to a group set up by mums who meet at the school gates to discuss missing jumpers and school trips and all the sort of thing that you would innocently associate with, you know, meeting the kids after school to accompany them home and so on. But apparently there was this message that contained an image or a video image of a little lad being abused.
How did that come about? Did somebody send it into the group?
Yeah, so that appears to have happened. And I was asked about it, and I said, well, danger, danger, you know, don't go there, you know, because, the law is potentially being broken, because I think it's a classic situation where normal law-abiding people possibly don't understand the implications of something appearing on your phone. And, of course, there was that recent case involving that very senior police officer who got sent something by her sister, and she ended up being prosecuted and convicted because she this image had appeared on her phone.
You really have a scale of things here, don't you? You have on one end something that could be, you know, relatively innocent and inadvertent, and on the other end you've got something that is as serious as this case of Mark Gable that we're talking about, and everything in between it.
That's right.
It's a real legal quagmire about how to investigate it and prosecute it and all of these things.
It's a 21st century nightmare because it's happening, and lots of people of the intent of using social media and the internet to do terrible, wicked things at one end, like the Gables of this world, and then at the other end there's law-abiding people, perhaps inadvertently and innocently, getting caught up in all of this. So I think it's very important that there's education about all of this. So in this BBC programme, there's an investigation into what is described as the dark world of child sexual exploitation, and trying to find out what happened to the little boy concerned in the images. And I think that highlights the fact that none of this is victimless. You know, the victim might be on the other side of the world, so there seems to be this false sense of security because the child is on the other side of the world, but it's all false and it's all wrong because, you know, the victim may as well be sat in the same room as you. You know,
exactly.
Distance has got nothing to do with it.
That's what makes it such an insidious crime, that, you know, that there can be this facilitation through a third-party process when the abuser's sitting really far away. You know, it's just a shocking thing.
That's right. And then getting back to the point that you're making, Sam, is that, you know, sort of maybe at the other end of the spectrum, you've got people taking pictures in the privacy of their home, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it happens to be, and those images, for one reason or another, then get shared with friends and so on. And
can lead to a lot of damage from something. I was reading earlier today that something like one third of the images uploaded from people who have taken images of themselves and put it on the web, children under the age of 18.
Yeah.
You know, that forms part of the number of images, indecent images, that are put on the web every year. And of course, two thirds of them are people who are trading in this kind of thing. And it raises another issue as well, that top end of it we were talking about before, the more sinister end. And that is this kind of distribution of this material via end-to-end encryption messages through the dark web, where people can hide their own identities. And that's something that's really difficult to deal with, I think, in this modern age. And there's a lot of questions about whether websites are doing enough or tech companies are doing enough. I've got a couple of statistics here. For example, in 2017, there was 80,000 web pages hosting child sexual abuse here in the UK, which was up 37% from the year before. And also, there's a new phenomenon which is called encrypted live streams, where people can engage in this process through a live streaming, you know, video where money is exchanged and paid, and their identities are protected via the dark web. Something obviously difficult to police, and it's not just about these websites taking it down or identifying it. It's about the websites doing more, I think, to police this and make sure it doesn't happen.
I think the reality is that what we know as social media probably does get the message and is probably, as time goes by, will take more and more action. But I think that's only part of the story, because so much goes on behind what we understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And these people are so advanced in the way that they are able to escape and avoid the law and detection. But, you know, these tech companies that run, you know, these huge tech companies are just as advanced, I would say, and there needs to be something done in terms of how they manage it.
I think the law is going to have to change. I think the law is going to have to be amended, changed to reflect the reality, and also to make sure that those who sit in the comfort of their homes or wherever accessing this stuff are held to account, not just through viewing, but actually enabling all of this to happen. Because if they didn't look at the stuff, there wouldn't be this market, this trade in it.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of aiding and abetting in many ways what's taking place.
Absolutely. And look, I was the National Crime Agency is on record talking about the fact that at the moment, a lot of the website hosts or tech companies only really have an obligation to identify these kind of images on their servers and report these indecent images, rather than if they could find the identity of the people who are engaging, facilitating, distributing, providing the identity. I don't know how far that goes yet, but it's also something that ties up with GDPR and privacy laws, and something that's just become so complicated in the legal framework as it is nowadays.
I suspect society is going to have to accept that there is going to have to be this compromise, in that if you want to keep children and young people safe, then what we look at, what we view, is somehow or other going to have to be monitored
and exempt from those kind of privacy laws, I think. Absolutely. Well, look, you know, I'm sure that the way that everything's going, we'll return to talking about this topic again sometime in the future. Hopefully not in the context of these kind of cases like Mark Gable, but, you know, unfortunately it might well be the case.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Sam. Thank you, listeners. And please do tune in to our next podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you would like to speak to Alan or I about something you have heard this week, or even if you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode, please do get in touch at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.